Okay. Greetings. This is the meeting of CODI, the Commission on Disability Issues. It is January the 18th, 2023, and the time I have is 3:42 p.m. And we will begin with roll call. And for roll call, Cindy Eagle. Sydney?
Present.
Mia Hansen?
I'm here.
Sue Krager?
Here.
Adiba Nelson? Billy Holbrook?
Here.
Ann Furman? Zach Coble?
Here.
Lily Bogan?
Here.
All right, ma'am, we have a quorum. Before we begin, I just real quick want to read the script here. It says this meeting is being held virtually due to COVID-19 to protect the public health and to allow for social distancing. As we continue in our efforts to meeting remotely, we appreciate for all commissioners and guests to allow to do the following. Mute yourself until called upon to speak to avoid feedback and background noises. We ask that you only use the chat function to request to speak or to announce that you are leaving so that we can keep track of quorum to comply with the state open meeting law. Attendance votes will be done by way of roll call using audio and not the chat function. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Commissioner Hansen, Chair of the CODI Commission. Thankful that everyone made it today who did, so we can have a meeting. Our last meeting was in October, so let's go to item number two, which is to review and approve the minutes of that October meeting. We will assume everyone had an opportunity to read the minutes. Are there any questions or comments or corrections? Commissioner Holbrook, can I hear a motion to approve?
Yes, I move that we approve the minutes as read.
And do I have a second? Commissioner Coble, maybe?
Second.
Please take the vote, Rick.
Yes, ma'am. Sydney? Ingle? Sydney?
Yes.
Okay. Mia Hansen?
Yes.
Sue Krager?
Yes.
Billy Holbrook?
Yes.
Zach Coble?
Yes.
Lily Bogan?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Excellent. And at this time, it's item number three, which is a call to the audience. And I happen to know that there is an audience member who I'm going to call upon who would like to introduce himself. Ray Jordan is on. And I'm going to preface this by saying Ray has submitted his candidacy to be a CODI commissioner, which we're very happy about. And at call to the audience, generally commissioners are not allowed to ask questions, as I understand it, but perhaps we might have some flexibility if there is anything. But I'd like to let Ray introduce himself. Welcome.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Ray Jordan, as the mayor said. About 2 weeks ago, submitted an application to join CODI. I've not heard yet back from the city. Mia also sent a letter of introduction about me to the council member for Ward 5, which is where I live, also about 2 weeks ago, and have not heard back from that person either. So I guess we're just waiting. But in the meantime, as an introduction of myself, I've been living in Tucson full-time now since the beginning of the pandemic, so I guess that's almost 3 years. How time flies. Prior to that, I lived about half of the year in Tucson and half of the year in Melbourne, Australia, for about 9 or 10 years before that. My first visit to Tucson was 2011 for a couple of weeks. My now wife, my then girlfriend, lives here, had been already living here in Tucson for about 15 years, has also served a term on CODI. Both of us have mobility related disability, muscular dystrophy, so we both use power wheelchairs. I get around the city, not so much in the winter. I'm a bit of a homebody in the winter, but during the summer, out on Suntran, Sun Van on the odd occasion. I've used the Sun Link as well. We've got friends in Tucson we go visit. I go to the pool at Reed Park quite regularly, which means that I'm, you know, using some of the Tucson's recreational facilities. I get to talk to lots of people on the bus and the bus stops. Some of those conversations are pretty damn interesting, let me tell you. My experience with disability issues, I served on the board of Muscular Dystrophy Australia from, I'm thinking, like, I can't remember for sure. It was about 15 years anyway. And I retired from that in about 2014, I think, when I began spending a lot more time overseas, i.e. in Tucson, and therefore not being able to attend the board meetings which were being held in the city of Melbourne in Australia. I served also probably about 15 years on the Municipality of Darebin's Disability Advisory Committee for a long period of time, and a couple of other more minor committees aside from that, built quite a network of friends, contacts, or many of them became friends, I should say, mostly in Melbourne, Australia, but in other parts of the country as well, partly through the Muscular Dystrophy Network and partly through the advocacy for accessible public transport. Transit's probably one of my pet passions. I've spent a lot of time on that, written a lot of, I think if I said the word, if I said I wrote papers, that's probably overstating it, but I've certainly written a lot of reports and contributions to governments. When governments issue reports, they ask the public to comment, and I've certainly done a lot of that. What else? Travelled fairly extensively. I've done the round trip from Australia to the US. I've lost count, 30 times maybe, beginning in the year 2000. That's a very long flight. If you've done that, you'll know what I'm talking about. 15, 16 hours nonstop. Travelled extensively around the US as well, all using public transit. Cindy, my wife, and I, you know, vacation or attend conferences and meetings and so forth in various parts of the country. We fly, we get shared van rides, we take trains, we take buses, because neither of us drive ourselves. I think I'll close with saying that I'm looking forward to contributing when the city gets its thing together. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray Jordan. Wonderful introduction. I did find out that the process is a bit difficult to perhaps navigate. Rich Council Member Fimbres, Richard Fimbres, staff members have been copied, and they gave me over the phone a very warm reception to having someone as obviously qualified as you to serve for Ward 5. So we'll look forward to the paperwork getting done, and I've asked Rick to follow up on that to find out why Ward 5 hasn't sent the official letter welcoming you to the boards and commissions office, which evidently is what has to happen. So we're going to see if staff member Mark Kerr can get on that. And thanks, Rick, for following up.
Yes, ma'am.
Also, just happy to say that we'll have someone equally as passionate about transportation as one of our former council commissioners. Good old Dan Barrett was really on top of our transportation for so long. So Ray, we'll look forward to you being on our next meeting. Thank you. Are there any other persons listening in who would like to address the commission during the call to audience? Hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item number four. This is Cody Year in Review, and I ask Commissioner Billy Holbrook to summarize, to go through the extensive notes and agendas that have been online and recordings, and give a very quick summary, which was sent out in an email. I'm sort of wondering if we need to share it, or if everybody has it, you could open it up. And then I think, Billy, I'd ask you to just read that and go down through the your summary of what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, I kind of went meeting by meeting, and some of them were recorded and some were not, but I also then read the minutes of these meetings. So January 2022, we had the Water Department who reported to us, the liaison Kim Rawling from the Water Department, spoke about a difficulty that the people had getting to cashiers through during the pandemic, and so there were they dealt with that. The Water Department, Environmental and General Services Department reported to the CODI that same meeting in January. Bill Parks, an assessment specialist, spoke regarding the ADA modifications through the city, throughout the city, made by outside contractors for garbage collection and recycling. And then we also had, during that discussion, about the expansion of the zoo. There were, then we also at that same meeting discussed the vacancies in CODI board. We brainstormed about the next week's, the next month's presenters and departments, and then that was January. And you know, some of us were questioning when we're going to be back to in-person meetings, but it looks like, you know, it's best for us to be virtually meeting. February we did not meet. March we did not meet. Both of those months we didn't have a quorum. In April, we had the presentation of the quantum system on SunTran. That's the secure system that locks your wheelchairs in place so that the drivers don't have to snap you in. That same meeting, we had the Housing and Community Development, Liz Gonzalez. Okay, so talking about housing affordability initiatives, there were 154 units are ADA compliant. And then now the sign up for housing is open again with the city, the website. Then that same meeting in April, we had public safety communications, the fire department, and talked to us about training officers to deal with persons with disabilities, mental and physical. And then TPD, Tucson Police Department, crisis intervention training. They talked about the number of disabled employees that it really doesn't need to be noted, but or marked down, you know, stipulated, but the six, they have six employees that on TPD that do not have like the active duty that the policemen that you see on the streets have, but they are like desk people, I guess. Then there's a TC3 program, which is set in place now to divert the 911 calls so that they, so people that are having an emergency can get the attention of the police department to their needs. In May, we had no longer a quorum that month, so June we met. We talked about the Disability Awareness Day that Chris Despero from Ward 2 brought up, and arranged for Disability Pride Day to happen on December the 3rd. And then we also talked about plans to revise and prioritize the the rotation of the ADA liaisons that report to us. The July meeting, we had Transportation and Mobility Department talk to us about funding for improved sidewalks and the ADA enhancements that come from Prop 411 that was passed in 2015 for Grant Road and Fort Lowell being improved. And the Office of Economic Opportunity talked about programs they're training employees to make this department more welcoming to people with disabilities. And there's also an app now for Sunvan. Then we talked about the Disability Awareness Day planning and set up a little mini committee on that. Electric scooters were talked about. Hannah Wolke talked about the sidewalks where people put down the scooters when they run out of power and how that's an impediment to the people using the sidewalks. Questions to the ADA liaison presenters were decided that we should revise those questions and maybe have fewer and less subjective questions. In the August meeting, the housing person spoke to us again. She talked about the waiting list that is now open and a Section 8 update was given. Section 8 allows for persons to choose their housing that fits their needs. Alternative accommodations are considered, and the department acknowledges the need for further training in dealing with persons with disabilities. Our September meeting was a presentation by the Dream Job Fair people talking about, scheduled for October the 19th, and it was going to be at TCC. The Information and Technology Department at the September meeting spoke to us. That was pretty interesting. We kind of talked about whether we should have had Zoom instead of Teams, but because Microsoft 365 had more privacy than Zoom meetings at the time that our virtual meetings were initiated, that's why we opted to have Teams, in case people have a question about that. The new city website is going to be easier to navigate. This is what's also reported by the technology department. And the department welcomes Cody's input and help with hearing and vision adaptations. Our October meeting, which is the one we just approved, our minutes, we had Lauren Walker, who is now our new chief equity officer, and she spoke and explained her job to us. She stated that she would like to work together with Cody in determining the needs of Tucson's persons with disabilities. So then I put down the highlights that Cody had in 2022. we got three new commissioners on board. We have the Disability Pride Day, which I thought was a success, even though it was pretty rainy that day and cold. And then we also, throughout the year, heard from seven ADA liaisons about the city departments and about the city website changes, transportation improvements, housing access, training of safety officers in working with persons with disabilities, about virtual meetings access, parks and rec upgrades, access and parks and rec upgrades, and service changes due to the pandemic, modifications done for offices where the city resides, and we met the chief equity officer, and we learned about the Dream Job Fair, which is for persons with disabilities. That's kind of a little summary.
Well done. Are there any comments or any additions to Commissioner Holbrook's excellent summary?
It was several pages that I kind of whittled down to make it, short.
I look like I'm freezing. Can everyone still hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is Commissioner Hanson. Zach, did you have a comment?
Oh, no, I was just saying I could hear you. I was taking myself off mute for a second.
Gotcha. Well, this is Commissioner Hanson. In looking at that, I just want to say congratulations. I think we did have some great highlights during the year. It is interesting, we had 7 meetings, right? So that means we had 5 meetings without quorum, including the November and December. I was sort of curious, several things came to mind. Back in January, we talked about the zoo expansion, and I just wonder, is the zoo expansion underway? You know, I get curious about these things. We heard about it. When is that going to happen? I have a note here to see if, I know Adiba was interested in, really interested in that. So I think I'd like to hear some, I'd like to take some notes about some follow-up that might be good to invite some people to our next couple of meetings.
Well, I think they closed the survey where they were asking people for input about the design. And so that's over with. So now they must be implementing something. Yeah, that would be good to have a follow-up.
The Section 8 housing waiting list, we've all seen that's recently been launched and open, and closes, I believe, the lottery, the chance to get in on the lottery closes January 24th, as I understand. Billy, did you have a comment on that?
No, I didn't. I know that, you know, I was part of the Resource Center, which helped people get access to that website in 2019, and then it kind of shut down when it was just overwhelmed. So I'm hoping that this is going to ferret out and, you know, get people better access and delivery.
Mm-hmm. The biggie is the City of Tucson's new website. And, you know, I'm looking at the website right now, and it looks kind of new. I'm assuming this is the new website that was discussed. Does anybody from the city that's on the meeting, can you confirm that indeed the website that's up, is that the new and improved website? Does anybody know?
It looks like the new one. I mean, I'm not from the city, but I saw where you click into boards and commissions. It's pretty easy to get onto that to look for our agenda for today.
Hi, this is Rebecca. Happy New Year, everyone. So glad the meeting is occurring. IT has been working diligently to roll out the new website, and I know it's being updated every day. But yes, we are having the new website, I believe, available in segments to the public as it's developed.
Thank you for confirming that. So encourage everybody in your spare time to read every page of the new city website. Seriously, also to take a look at it for accessibility purposes, perhaps Lily, and I'm sure I see Chris Desbrose on this meeting, especially for people who are blind or have visual impairment, hopefully it has improved. Just in general, I think that the look kind of remains the same in some ways. It's pretty plain. The text seems to be fairly readable. I'll talk to my neighbor, who was the person who presented on that, and see if there's any update for that. Other than that, finally, with Lauren Walker, the city's chief equity officer, I'm wondering if a follow-up, since she put out that she'd like to work with us, and I'm wondering if we have any volunteers from the commission who'd like to follow up with her, maybe with a phone call, and just perhaps set up a meeting, you know, with some of us to talk to her more about her role and how we can get her more engaged. Do I have anybody who'd be willing to volunteer to give her a call?
This is Commissioner Coble. I can give Ms. Walker a call. I believe her name, I may be hearing people incorrectly, but her name is Larice, not Lauren?
Oh, Norice. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Zach. This is Holbrook.
No problem.
Thank you, Commissioner Coble. We will let you do a follow-up there. And I will follow up with Parks and Recreation about the zoo. And I think the waiting list, I'm really curious to see what happened. I did read some comment in the paper that thousands of applications had been already received, the preliminary applications to get in the lottery. So no doubt it's going to be, again, a huge wait list, unfortunately. People who need to be in there. And then I wanted to follow up and maybe hear a comment from Chris Desborough, who is, I see on the call. If Chris is willing to comment, I think we'd like to hear your reflections on Disability Pride Day, and just say once again, congratulations on a great event. Chris, would you like to say anything about that? Or maybe Chris is not actually in the meeting, he's just hanging out somewhere. We'll come back to Chris if his if he gets back in here. It was an excellent day. It was a great moment to have so many people from the community and our Mayor Romero there, plus several council members, Councilmember Cunningham, Councilmember Lee, maybe some other folks, some other elected officials were there. So I think the city really got a chance to participate in a big way. And I spoke to Mayor Romero personally, and she was thrilled that it happened, and really was also very concerned that she didn't have an appointee on the Cody Commission, and asked us all to please find her somebody great. So we need another great candidate, preferably someone who identifies as a person with a disability, to fill the mayoral position. So we're still looking for more candidates. So I don't want to let that go, because it's been a big topic all year of finding more candidates. And again, we're hopeful that, you know, with Ray joining, we can continue to grow. Any other comments or questions about that summary? Okay. Well, hearing none, that it really leads us into a discussion about the annual report. And last year, Zach wrote up the annual report, which maybe this summary will help Zach to make it a little easier to do the annual report, which is required of all boards and commissions to report to mayor and council with a summary of what we've done. So, Zach, I don't know if you want to comment on that. I believe we didn't send out last year's annual report, but it was basically a two-page letter, right?
Correct. Yeah. And I kind of based the annual report that I drafted on a prior annual report, at least in terms of formatting. I'm happy to use Billy's wonderful notes, or Commissioner Holbrook's wonderful notes, to update, to create an updated annual report along the same lines this year. So,
good. Well, I have a copy of that annual report in front of me from last year. And basically, Zach summarized some of the key things that Cody continues to work to advise and hold city government accountable to the needs of people with disabilities and their families, and that we have a committed core of commissioners, but we have several open slots. So a big theme throughout our summary last year was, let's get these empty positions filled. So in that letter, we asked mayor and council to help us fill the mayoral and the council member and the city manager's vacancies, which at my count, I believe we still have three vacancies. Rick, I'm going to ask you to go real quick and look up and make and see if that's correct or not.
Sure, I'll do that right now.
Yeah, but I believe because we added Sydney, we added Lily, and we added Anne. So he'll add up real quick, but I believe we're still missing the mayor's position and at least one position in the city manager. And then I believe Ward 3, councils and the Ward 3. We'll hear from Rick in a moment to hear what we've got there. So it seems like we have a similar thing in that we want to fill out the commission. And as far as concerns go, I'd like to just hear any reflections on after we heard that summary. Do we have any burning concerns, Cody commissioners, that we feel mayor and council need to know from our commission? Is there anything that comes to mind? Tell you what, if there is anything that comes to your mind after the meeting, if you could please send some comments just after you've reflected upon the year and the impact of some of the things, let's say Section 8 opening up and thousands of people already piling in, you know, public housing, do we have enough of it? Public transportation, is the new quantum system good enough? You know, Ray has ridden in it and used it a lot. You know, is it working? That missing, one of my big issues is that missing report of non-compliant ADA issues. Remember, wasn't there something like $1 billion worth of fixes that could be made? And we still haven't seen where that full list of non-compliance things are. Things like lack of curb cuts and missing, you know, just things missing, like bus stops that are inaccessible. So I think that would be another thing this year. Transportation really is on my mind. And again, happy to have more people just turn their eyes. Somebody's got their hand raised.
Yes, ma'am. So I did confirm there are three vacancies. One is going to be for the mayor position recommendation, the city manager's office, and then also the Ward 5. Those are the three vacancies that we have at this time.
Got it. So Ward 5 will hopefully be filled with Ray.
The mayor's
office is still a position that should identify as a person with a disability. And the city manager's position can be filled by a person with a disability or someone who works with the disability community. And it comes to mind that we want to continue to look for diversity in kinds of people that are represented, but also, of course, people who are committed to doing the work and showing up. So those are all important things. So if you have comments and you'd like to, please send them, email them to myself and or to Zach Coble so that we can inform this annual report, which I believe needs to get done here in the next the next week or so, Zach. So let's give a deadline of 24 hours for commissioners to send any comments or any burning issues that you'd like us to reflect in that report.
This is Commissioner Coble. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm happy to complete the report in a week, but we would still need it to get approved by the commission before submitting it to the boards and commissions, city office,
You're
or
right.
The city clerk, I guess. So.
You're right. Actually, that letter last year was dated February 16th, so I think you wrote it and we approved it at the February meeting, I think. So we'll put that on the agenda for the February meeting to have us all have a copy, a draft of it, and review it. Is that okay?
That sounds great.
Okay.
Well, we didn't meet in February last year, so, but I know that you wrote that letter. Huh.
Maybe we all said aye somehow.
Or maybe we just send.
I don't know that we do have to have everybody vote on it.
No. Well, so if can we approve?
I wasn't.
Can we approve the summary that I put in? Maybe.
I believe if we use the summary and maybe make it a bit more of a letter format.
Yeah.
That I don't think we need to approve it. So let's just go with that.
Okay.
Since we had a very thorough summary. Anybody opposed? Sydney and Lily, who didn't have a chance to see last year's letter or the annual report, if it will. Why don't we can email that to you, but I just realized it's in a PDF form. So I'll copy and paste that, and if that's okay for you, Lily, into an email so you can just see what it was, if that would help you a little bit. And, you know, Lily?
Yes, that should be fine if you copy and paste it. I can also check out the PDF format to see if it is accessible.
Well, I do hope that we'll get a chance to hear from more liaisons this coming year and different people. And Commissioner Krager has been really helpful at helping kind of craft the questions to give people some direction of how to kind of report out to us, if you will, or what kinds of things to talk about. So maybe, Sue, you'd be willing to help dust off guiding questions again so that we can reflect that. And also I'd like to ask anybody who has a request, we're taking a request, anyone who has a request of a liaison that we haven't heard from or a department that we haven't talked to recently. Transportation's on my mind. I'd like to get transportation back. But we do need to set the agendas for the coming year. And I think it'd be helpful if we could set it a little further in advance and not just meeting to meeting. Any input on that?
Commissioner Hansen, this is Commissioner Krager. I'm sorry, I forgot to raise my hand. I apologize. I don't have the list in front of me. I know that you and I compiled the list, and then we had some priorities of offices that we wanted to meet with. You don't happen to have that, do you? I don't seem to find it quickly here.
I can't find it quickly either, but it's in my pile here somewhere, okay. So I will.
I'll find it too. But it seemed like didn't we want to talk to the mayor's office?
We did. We had hoped the mayor would send someone to us, and that didn't happen. And well, we got a city commissioner representative, being Larice, the new chief equity officer. But then we didn't really get any further with the mayor's office liaison. I'm looking right now at the current list of ADA liaisons, which was sent to us. Rick sent it October 19th, to me anyway. Rick, could you, I'm not sure if you sent it to everybody on the commission, but if you could please.
Sure.
Rick, send the current ADA department liaisons list out to all the commissioners once again.
Okay.
And on there, there's not a mayor's office person listed. I think that was part of it, that they're things, there wasn't really anybody specifically who was listed as the mayor's office liaison. There's a city manager's office.
Yeah, actually we talked about that too, didn't we?
Yeah, city manager's office, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, since we had the Larice, the chief equity officer, she works under the city manager's department office, and I think we figured she was the head of the head of the chief. So, We can ask again, but the other main departments, just to tick a few of them off, housing and community development, you've heard from them, planning and development services, public safety communications, environmental and general services, we heard from Bill Parks last year, fire, police, water, parks and rec, and information technology. So we get most of the biggies. Some that we didn't hear from, which I reached out to, were the city attorney's office and the city prosecutor's office. I did get some feedback that they're not really here to talk to us as much as to help people deal with court-related issues. So I kind of reflected on that and thought, okay. So it didn't seem like it was a burning issue that they wanted to come and report anything to us. And the public defender, it might be interesting to talk to the public defender's office, since maybe more citizens would run up against a public defender in their lifetime. And human resources, in my mind, transportation and human resources, too. Go ahead. Is that someone making a comment?
Well, I just wanted to maybe remind us that we were also a kind of expressed concern over the last few months about training. And I think that still seems really unclear about what kind of training is available and what kind of training is provided. And I think we had a sense that the training was pretty much compliance oriented and not really so much about disability inclusion and participation and creating welcoming environments or whatever, that it was, that it seemed to be more compliance, and that concerned us.
You're right, Sydney, you have your hand up.
Yeah, thank you, this is Sydney. I wanted to piggyback off of Sue saying about the training. I was just going to mention that as well. I would love to have the department come and talk about their training, who is doing their training, if there are people with disabilities that are being set center during this training, and that their voices aren't being heard throughout the training that the city is doing with their employees department.
Thank you, Sydney. I'm going to repeat. I believe you were talking about the police department and that you'd like to hear from someone from the police department about what type of training they're getting and working with the public. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Thanks. You were cutting out a little bit. So the police department training in dealing with persons with disabilities. I think, Sue, you hit it on the head there. So perhaps this is a mayor and council member question. Maybe our council members, we could ask this question. What is the general understanding about what we're asking here? We're not just asking about, are you compliant, and have you got curb cuts, and is everybody, you know, everybody understand what proper language is, right? But more personal, Sue, and perhaps you could craft a paragraph to help us to ask mayor and council in the annual report, and then in our phone calls, which I think it would be a good moment for us to call up our council members, you know, and identify ourselves and remind them. It was really great at the Disability Day, right, to meet Council Member Cunningham and Council Member Leahy and Mayor Romero, and just put a face, for them to put a face to who's on their commission. So let's work on that, about what is this elusive training that we're hoping happens, and if it's not happening, then how can we help to make it happen, right? How can we help facilitate maybe some more thoughtful personnel training? And maybe it is human resources, maybe they have something to do with this. So Sue and I, let's work on that. Zach, you're going to work on the report. We hope to see Jordan, Ray Jordan, at the next meeting. We still have two vacancies. So let's all work on finding some other people that are fabulous who are out there. At this time, we'll move on into agenda item number 6, upcoming events. Holbrook.
Can I just say, to answer Sydney's question, she came on the board after we had the April meeting with the police department where they did the training. And you might, if you want to, Sydney, go back and listen to what they had to say about the kind of training they have, and then the secondary training that they have too. So you can listen to the actual meeting where the liaison from the police department spoke, as well as the fire department, to answer her training question.
Thank you, Holbrook. So that was the April meeting, and you go
the
back.
April meeting. Yeah, that one was recorded, so you could hear them actually talk about what they have to
go through.
Good point. Okay, let's move on to upcoming events. Does anyone have any upcoming events that they'd like to announce? Anything happening at all? Well, this is Commissioner Hansen. I'm happy to say that in the sports world, Southern Arizona Adaptive Sports just recently held a wheelchair basketball tournament, which involved about 50 members of our community, including, I think our oldest athlete was age 62, and our youngest age 9, playing wheelchair basketball with 9 teams from California, Arizona, from Phoenix, and a team from Boise, Idaho came to town. So that was great. And we have some upcoming events. We have in March 3rd through 5th, the Arizona Open Wheelchair Tennis Tournament will be happening at the Refkin Tennis Center, where we anticipate about 50 athletes coming to play wheelchair tennis in a USTA sanctioned tournament. There are also some ongoing support group meetings that are happening. SAS, Southern Arizona Adaptive Sports, is a part of that. We have some ongoing support events at Encompass Health, and we offer peer mentoring for people who are interested in perhaps speaking to someone with a similar life experience. And I see someone's hand up. Let me see. Lily, do you have an announcement?
I do. This is Commissioner Bogan. I'm on the board of V-Rate, which stands for Vision Rehabilitation Assistive Technology Expo. And we will be having our annual conference this year, March 31st, 2023, in person in Glendale, Arizona. So we are currently looking for sponsors and exhibitors for our event and also presenters. So that is directed towards the blind, visually impaired, and deaf-blind community.
Could you repeat the name of the organization?
It's V-Rate. It stands for Vision Rehabilitation Assistive Technology Expo. So it's an expo for resources and technology.
Excellent. And who else had a hand up? I see Chris Desbro's taken his microphone off mute. Chris, we called upon you earlier, and we're kind of wondering if you're there.
Yes, sorry, I ended up having to take a phone call, which took a little longer than I expected.
Well, I'm going to have a little license here to let you comment on our annual report. We talked about, or summary of events, we talked about the Great Disability Pride Day, and just wanted to thank you for organizing that and putting it on, and if you had any parting comments about that or upcoming events, as in next year, we'd like to hear about it now.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I was thrilled that we were able to get it off the ground and celebrate the first one on December 3rd. I appreciate everybody who was on the planning committee. Believe it or not, we have already reserved some space at the Tucson Convention Center for this year, December 3rd, which will fall on a Sunday. And we're actually going to go and take a little walk around the space this time next week, just to see what they're offering and just pace it out a little bit. And at some point in the next few weeks, I'll be back in touch with those of you who are on the planning committee for the first one to see if you want to be part of the second one. So that's where we are at the moment.
Excellent. I might bring up, Chris, that Cody has the ability to create an official subcommittee if we do and we want to talk about things like a planning committee. We have to make it an official subcommittee of Cody, but we also, of course, are citizens and are also allowed to just join committees without being officially there from Cody. So we'll just think about that. Maybe you and I will talk about that a little bit and see how we want to approach that.
Yep, sounds like a plan. Thank you. And again, thank you everybody who did participate. I really appreciate everybody's help and effort. So thank you again.
Excellent. Are there any other announcements or upcoming events that anybody would like to mention?
This is Sydney. I just wanted to announce that I did open my my business. We're an accessible piercing studio. So if anyone's interested in that, you can reach out to me. But we are completely accessible.
Thank you, Sydney. That was your accessible piercing studio. I think Miss Krager is ready for piercing. And then next CODI Commission meeting will be Wednesday, February 15th. At 3 p.m. Please remember to mark your calendars. Yes.
At 3:30 p.m.
We send out good health wishes to Ann Furman. Hope she's healing. Not sure why she wasn't here today, but she's recently been very ill again. And yeah, let's go out there and find two more commissioners. And I will call the meeting adjourned at 4:33 p.m.
Okay, thank you everyone.
Thank you everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And